In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning and welcome to church this morning. Thousands of people are gathering in churches, attending churches this Sunday, this morning, or they might go a little later on in the day. Many of around the world will of course be worshipping still via Zoom or listening into services via TV, radio, shortwave radio, or over the internet. And you are here at St. John's in person. With so many other attractions this morning, you could have been sleeping, you could have gone out for brunch, you could have gone for a run around the park if that's your thing, but instead you've decided to come to church. How has this come to be? Well, it's likely that someone, somewhere in your life, shared something about God. It could have been a parent, or a teacher, a friend, a spouse, a priest, perhaps a stranger on a tram. Someone, somewhere, shared something about God. And by hook or by crook, you made the decision to find out more about God for yourself, whether recently or some time back. Each person's journey of faith is unique. It's windy, it's often uphill and down dale. But it started somewhere. As I was saying to Em before, the story of God, the creator of all things, has been shared for thousands of years. And the story of God's beloved, God's Son, Jesus Christ, has been shared for over 2,000 years. Of course, this is through scripture, of course, but also art, architecture, music, prayer, church services, and everything in between. And the story has also been shared through people talking and encouraging and inviting others to also know God and to live their lives in close, loving relationship with God and a close, loving relationship with Jesus. Well, early in the Gospel of John, part of which we read today, it's just a small part, we hear about people talking and encouraging and inviting others to come and see, Jesus for themselves. Jesus himself starts this off himself by inviting Andrew and another to come and see. And not to come and see necessarily who or what he is. The first act of discipleship was simply, where are you staying? Jesus says, come and see. And we're not told what happens other than Jesus answers the question, well, where are you staying? He says, come and see. And this open act of hospitality probably included food and wine and no doubt deep conversation. We're not given any details about this meeting, but clearly the hours spent with Jesus are so profound that they interrupt these young men's lives who choose to follow Jesus. Somehow or another, they understand that the person they're invited to come and see where that person is staying changes their lives. And whilst they can't have any idea of what it will mean to be a follower of Jesus, they trust him completely and they want to learn from him and they want to gather the same dust on their feet as Jesus. Well, rather than keep this all to themselves and say, we've got Jesus for ourselves, they immediately want to share. Andrew finds his brother, Simon Peter. We've found the Messiah, he says, and takes Simon Peter to meet Jesus. Clearly, something extraordinary is happening here. Jesus calls Philip to follow him. And Philip wants to share. So he goes and finds Nathanael. We've found him, about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth, he says. That's an extraordinary claim, isn't it? They've only just met Jesus. This extraordinary claim, we have met the Messiah. And there they hit a snag. They hit a snag because Nathanael isn't convinced by this at all. Really? His unpromising retort is, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael's probably heard it all before. A Messiah is coming to rescue Israel. And yet no Messiah comes. They still live under the crushing rule of Rome. And anyway, surely any Messiah will emerge from somewhere far more gloriously and spectacularly wonderful, and in whom it is not a carpenter from the village of Nazareth. Surely not. Sorry, lads, he says to them, this kite is not going to fly. But Philip, already learning from Jesus, simply repeats Jesus' own words. Come and see. No lecture, no sales pitch, no anger, no nothing. Simply, come and see for yourself. Nathanael moves towards Jesus, expecting absolutely nothing. Yet he's utterly disarmed by Jesus, taken off guard that Jesus knows him and appears to want him to be a disciple, to know Jesus. This cynical, disbelieving young person is completely disarmed. Where did you get to know me? Nathanael asks. I saw you under a fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael suddenly knows that he is completely known by this man he has never met. In this brief interchange, there's a leap of understanding in Nathanael, outpacing reason and outpacing teaching. It's a true epiphany. Mysterious as it is, and laden with divine insight, Nathanael's mind and heart are opened not only to the possibility, but to the truth that Jesus is the Son of God and the King of Israel. And not even Peter will attain this revelation for another 3 years. Nathanael knows in this incredibly short interchange, he knows that he is not at the centre of what's happening anymore. That the experiences, that he's moved from head knowledge to an experiential insight. And that experience is Jesus. This conversation reveals more about Jesus, perhaps, than Nathanael. That Jesus doesn't call holy people or perfect people or compliant people, people who won't ask questions. Won't call people who've got all their act together. Jesus invites the whole kaleidoscopic mass of humanity to follow, including the Nathanaels of the world. Cynical, but transformed. The writer Maya Angelou once wrote, I'm amazed when people walk up to me and say, I'm a Christian. I think, already? You already got it? I'm working on it. Jesus calls all people. And so it goes on, and it has gone on, and it continues to go on, from the earliest disciples to now. Come and see. Come and see and hear the good news of Jesus. It's like a relay, isn't it? Where the baton is passed from person to person to person and generation and generation to generation. What does it all mean for followers of Jesus today? What does it mean to share the good news of Jesus, who loves God absolutely and loves himself absolutely and loves others absolutely and loves the world absolutely? Well, if we're honest, we can say that Christians are often quite shy about their faith. Who will listen if I speak? It's private business, I'll be told. Sometimes, for want of someone warmly saying, "Come and see," the story of God can be shushed or muted. As we can see in our gospel reading today, some will be receptive and some won't. The graciousness and humility of the invitation is in the very words, "Come and see." We're all encouraged to share the good news of God's love in Christ with others. Share this winsomely. Share what brought you to church and why, when someone else said, "Come and see," you came and saw and continue to come and see. And married with words of invitation, sometimes words that don't come all that easily, if we're honest, are action. What better way for people to say, "Come and see," than for people to literally see followers of Jesus following Jesus, serving others, alleviating suffering, offering hospitality as Jesus did so often, advocating for the voiceless, loving neighbour, and as Christ is to be worshipped and with reverence and holiness, treating others with reverence and holiness. In the 1800s, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote a poem called "Follow Me," and several lines in particular encourage us to share the good news of Jesus. Just a few lines go like this: "And him evermore I beheld walking in Galilee. To the dead he saith, 'Arise,' to the living, 'Follow me.' And that voice shall still sound on from the centuries that are gone to the centuries that shall be." We are in the centuries that shall be, 200 years later. Today, as we pray the prayer after communion, which we pray every week, "Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory," when we pray this, let's be reminded and encouraged again that, like the first disciples, all followers of Jesus are indeed sent out, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are sent out by word and deed so that the voice of Christ shall sound on. Amen.